Good afternoon. I hope that you're doing well. Thank you for joining us today for the devotion. We're going to continue on with our series of This Day in Baptist History. First, we're going to read some verses from the book of Acts, and we'll start in toward the end of chapter 21. And Paul has been ministering, he's been preaching, and now some people have gotten mad, and he's now been arrested, and he's gone before the high priest, before the chief captain, excuse me. And so he's about to give his testimony, and so we see this in Acts 21, verse 37. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar, and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" But Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew, of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, "I am verily a man which am born a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished." And so then Paul goes on, he gives his testimony about how he got saved, and how that God had chosen him to be a witness to Israel, and he speaks about his citizenship. And so he then goes and he asks to be brought before Caesar. And so we see that Paul here, having been persecuted, but one of the main points that will draw a correlation to a story from Baptist history is that Paul was a very learned man. I think about in the book of Philippians, he talks about this as well, that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, that he was very zealous when it came to the law, that when it came to keeping the law, he was very righteous. He was just the cream of the crop. That's how the essence of how he described himself. And so we see that there's a correlation to our story today of this day in Baptist history. It says, "The Preacher Who Confounded the Court" is the title of it. We often think of our early Baptist forefathers as being poorly educated and primarily men of fervor, but with few academic achievements. However, God raised up some unique men with great mental abilities among our progenitors. Surely John Bunyan was such a man, but the truth is that many men in the Bedford Church in England were outstanding. On January 21, 1672, at the meeting in which John Bunyan was called to the pastorate of the Bedford Church, seven other men were examined and set apart to the work of the ministry. Among these men was Nehemiah Cox, who is described as a very excellent, learned, and judicious divine. Cox was a native of Bedford and had been received into the membership of the church in June 1669, and it is believed that he had been immersed by John Bunyan. Cox proved to be an able author and wrote several published treatises that were used of God. He refused the call to a nearby Baptist church in Hitchin, and in the course of time, he is said to have been imprisoned at Bedford for preaching the gospel. An interesting development took place on the day Cox was hailed into court. In earlier days, Cox had been a shoemaker, and thus he was known in court as a cord wainer. The Reverend Mr. Cox presented his own case before the court in the Greek language, and he further confounded the prosecution by responding to their charges in Hebrew. The judge expressed his surprise, remarking that none there could answer him. Cox claimed the right to plead in what language he pleased. The judge dismissed him and saying to the bar, "Well, the cord wainer has wound us all up, gentlemen." Later, Cox moved to London and supported himself in the medical profession, for the persecuted churches were small, and most pastors had to labor on the side. Ultimately, he accepted a call to the joint pastorate of a well-known Baptist church in London, that of Petit France. It is also of interest that in 1678, the Petit France Baptist Church united with the Particular Baptist Association. Cox attended as a messenger to the associational meetings and reported to his congregation. In 1682, a great storm of persecution came down upon the Petit France Church, but Dr. Cox served the congregation faithfully with his co-pastor, William Collins, for at least 20 years. So we see there's some humor in the story, but there's an important lesson here that we ought to know, and that is that though these men were very learned and very knowledgeable about different things, very smart, and we understand that Paul was very smart, very elevated in his knowledge, but that does not stop God from using those who are not that same spot. We do have that God has the ability to use anyone that is willing and is able, is available to be used, and he desires to do that. And so it's not that young people have to wait until they're old and have to wait until they grow smarter to be used of God. That's just not the case. God can use anyone. But we do see the opposite side of that coin, and that is God does call us to be intelligent people. I think about the conversation that Paul had with Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy, that he said, give yourself to reading, give yourself to learning the doctrines, and he said that it was very important that Timothy would be a learner. We remember the familiar verse, study to show yourself approved unto God. Excuse me, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is not as such that God wants us to remain not smart about biblical things. God does want us to learn, and he wants us to apply the things that we've learned, and he wants us to ever be growing in our knowledge of him. I think about 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've preached to the teenagers a number of weeks ago in the first chapter of John. And there was an interesting point that was made, by a book that I was reading concerning the first chapter there. And it said that, a fervor toward Jesus, or what we'd call a, personal piety, was very important, but it was also important to have what he called a theological sophistication. It's not necessarily enough to love God, though that's very important, and every person ought to love God, but it's also very important and equally important that we would know God and know about him. That we would learn of him, that we would know more about him, and so it's important. We see that when a Christian loves God but does not know him, or does not know about him, that love can wane, that love can decrease. But the more that you know about him, then the more you will love him. And so we see that there's an important aspect that though God can and has used many people who may be counted as maybe less intelligent, maybe less smart, God can certainly use any person that he would like to. But he also does encourage us in his word and tell us that we ought to grow in our knowledge and in our understanding of him, that we ought to not have the same knowledge as when we first began, but that we would grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. I hope that you have a great day. We'll do our Thankful Friday tomorrow. We're certainly looking forward to that. And I hope that you have a great afternoon. God bless you.